And away we go with hour number three of Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. He's at Petco Park. Matt Scraby's alongside here. In the Odyssey Palace studio, Sam Lovett's coming up with the Padre pregame show 90 minutes from right now. Then after that, the Padres and the Reds. Los Friars. I guess Los Padres. Padres Los is already Padres, Spanish. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Los Friars.
Los Friars. Los Friars y Los Rojos. Los Rojos. I used to love to listen to Jaime Jarrín when I was growing up in L.A. We'd switch over to the Spanish language broadcast just for fun once in a while when the Dodgers were playing the Reds. Johnny Bench, Los Rojos. Just always sounded funny to us. Here we go.
Real quick, Chris.
Yeah, what do you got?
We were having phone technical difficulties.
Uh-oh.
I got to run to the back studio real quick.
Okay.
And try to restart something.
So people are trying to call in to play Chris versus the fans.
They're on hold. We just can't see any of their names.
Whoa. Well, that's problematic. So while Scraby goes to try to get that fixed, I will let you know that, you know, we're talking about the Padres, and we got a lot of PPP questions earlier, Padres Pen Pals. If you missed it, you can always download that segment. Took place at 2:40 this afternoon. You can download it, 97.3thefansd.com or the Odyssey app. But everybody, you know, a lot of people, the Padres can't hit, and they never hit, and they get shut down, and this and that. And, you know, looking at this, the Padres right now are hitting 253 as a team. It's not unbelievable, but it is seventh best in all of Major League Baseball. There's only six teams that have a better batting average than the Padres right now. And the team they're playing tonight, the Reds, are hitting a paltry 219 so far this season. And you say, well, the Reds, you know, are hitting with more pop. No, they're not. Reds have 28 home runs. The Padres have 32 home runs. But where the Reds do their damage, as I said earlier, is on the base pass. They run, they steal 52 stolen bases so far for Cincinnati. One other quick, before we get to our trivia game, which I don't know we're going to be able to play now.
No, it's fixed now.
Is everything okay?
It worked.
All right, thank you.
I need to run more, though, because I'm a little out of breath now.
Yes, you sound a little tired.
I'm just kidding.
You need some oxygen. Did you know that the Padres and the Reds had the exact same record last year?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't remember it either. They're both 82-80. There was one other team in baseball that was also 82-80 last year. Can you remember which one?
80.
Scraby. This is your Chris versus the fans lead-in question.
Was it the Diamondbacks?
It was the Yankees.
Oh.
Also 82-80 last year. So out of those three,
wrong.
Yankees, Reds, Padres, through the first month of this season, how would you rate those teams in order of success?
Yankees, Reds, and Padres? Oh, gosh, you're setting me up for something here, but I got to go Yankees, Reds, Padres.
I think you do. I think you do, too. I mean, you know, you got to be fair about it. The Yankees have certainly been much better so far this year.
Yeah.
And the Reds, you know, at least they're over 500. The Padres can't say that. All right, 833-288-0973. A chance not only to go to Las Vegas, but we've got some tickets to give you today as well as a bonus. Start out with the Las Vegas part. You win Chris versus the fans, you're qualified for a chance at a two-night stay. Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, two tickets to Kool and the Gang. Multiple sold-out shows. They're back on stage. Westgate residency through 2024. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com, the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Features new to the design premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations. Home of legendary Vegas fun. We're also going to throw in, out of the goodness of our heart, a pair of tickets. No, better than that. A family four-pack of tickets.
Sweet.
You can take the whole family out to Viejas Arena on Friday, May 7th. Is that this coming Friday? Yeah. No. Are we sure?
Nope.
It's not Friday, May 7th. It's...
Did someone... Okay.
No, I wrote... I put my own Friday in there.
Oh, okay. So, phew. I'm
That's
off the
my
hook.
Fault.
I'm off the
fuck. What's May 7th?
It's a Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. All right. Anyway, you can see the San Diego Mojo, the new professional volleyball team in town. I got to tell you, volleyball is very exciting.
It is.
It is.
Do you know I've called play-by-play of volleyball?
So have I.
And it's very hard. It's very tough.
It's not easy to keep up with.
It's very tough.
Yeah. San Diego Mojo taking on the Columbus Fury next Tuesday, May 7th, Viejas Arena. Grab tickets now at provolleyball.com or win them in Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the rules, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult as we go along. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it. And you will get the first question for free today. All right, let's get into our first contestant. And we'll go with, because you love Emilio Pagan, we'll go with Emilio on the phone.
I do love Emilio Pagan. I miss Emilio Pagan. I'll have to settle for this Emilio.
Are you okay with that, Emilio?
Hello, this Emilio. Here we go.
Ready to go?
Let's play ball.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Let's do this.
All right. What comedy movie did Mike Tyson make a cameo in?
Hilariously so.
Yes, he was hilarious in that movie.
He was absolutely hilarious. Although the funniest thing he did was punch out poor Zach Galifianakis and just floored him.
He did. It was great.
And then the look on his face when they had the video in his mansion and Zach was relieving himself in the pool.
Yes.
Mike Tyson looked over and what kind of sick people are you?
That is pretty funny.
It's pretty good, Mike Tyson.
All right, here we go for Emilio. Question number two. What team is in first place in the American League West right now?
The West.
The West.
Got a 5-1 chance if you don't know.
Let's go with the Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers.
Los Rangers de Tejas.
Stay there just in case Chris doesn't
know.
Yeah,
the Mariners.
Oh, gosh.
Been hot. Mariners have been pitching lights out. I believe they've had like 16 or 17 starts in a row. Where their starters given up two or fewer runs.
Mm.
The Mariners have had a hot stretch with their starting pitching. The
George
Padres
Kirby.
Could use something like that.
Yes, George Kirby's been pretty good.
George Kirby, Logan Gilbert,
yep.
Luis Castillo.
Yep.
On and it goes. The Mariners got some arms.
They do have some arms. All right,
and
let's
Ty
go.
France hit his second home run of the year yesterday, I might add.
Nice job, Ty France.
Way to go, Ty.
All right, we're going to go to John in Temecula. John, what's up?
Hey, Scravy. Hello, Chris. Afternoon, boys. How are we doing?
We're doing well. I know John is a veteran player, so he does not get first question for free, but we'll go into the first question.
He knows how to make it work.
All right. First question is, coming into today, what team has played the most games in baseball so far this year?
The Dodgers.
Dodgers?
It's not the Dodgers.
Well, the only other team it can be is Los Padres de San Diego.
Sorry, John.
Yeah, the Padres played the two games in Korea.
Was that too hard of a question?
Nah, they were really the only two it could be because they had those extra two games.
I feel bad because John's awesome.
We like John.
John, you can.
He'll be back.
Yeah, we'll get you back.
He'll be back. It's, you know, it's not embarrassing to lose in the first round.
Ow. Wow, John. I will have vengeance for you.
Yes, you will.
All right, let's go to our next contestant. We're going to go to Joseph in San Diego. Joseph, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
All right.
Good. Oh, man, a Larry David fan. My kind of guy.
Yes, that is Chris's kind of guy. Here we go. Question number one. What NFL team selected? What is that?
Whoa
is right. What NFL team selected Michael Penix Jr. in the first round of the NFL draft?
That's the Falcons.
Stay Atlanta, apparently, according to Chris.
That was a good question, but it wasn't an accurate question. An accurate question would have been, what team stupidly selected Michael Penix
Jr.? I was like rereading
Jr.
it, like, what did I ask wrong in there? Yeah. All right, here
Forgot
we go.
Forgot the word stupidly.
Question number two. What AL East player leads all starting pitchers in ERA so far this season?
I have him on my fantasy team. Jose Berrios.
Wow, nice job.
Oh, well, that hit you right in a good spot.
It did. He's
got a better ERA than Ranger Suarez.
He does. I was surprised by this, but if you go back, he's got like a 1.23 ERA or something all crazy right. like that.
Very good.
I just want to know now that I'm looking at it, but
Suarez is. Okay. Yeah, no, you're good. If Scraby's wrong, it's
no. I know he's first. I didn't know if it was 1.23, but we don't need to know that because he.
Well,
he
let's okay. let's find right. out.
Joseph, question. Oh, you're going to find out.
Yes, it's 1.23. Okay. Suarez is 1.32.
Yeah,
so you were correct for
Thank
a change.
You. Thank you. I stared at that ERA on the board on Saturday night all night long. The one
Suarez.
Point. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
All right,
question
one to go for the title.
Number three. Ezekiel Elliott returns home to the Dallas Cowboys, who drafted him in 2016 with what pick? What number pick in the first round was Ezekiel Elliott taken in 2016?
Oh, God.
Thirteenth. Stay there, Joseph. This is not going to be easy.
No,
for Chris.
It's not easy. Fifth. I don't know.
Fifth.
That's all I remember.
Hey, wow.
It's a victory,
Joseph. Stay right there.
Cashes in. Ezekiel Elliott was picked where?
Six.
Ooh,
you were close. I was like,
it.
What?
I almost got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him being quite a haul. I don't know what the Cowboys are thinking here. I mean, Zeke, you know, I mean, what did he have? One good game last year for the Patriots?
He only
maybe
really
one and a half.
Played one real full
yeah.
game.
I, you know, did they replace Tony Pollard with anyone else? Or are they going to just
Rico
be
Dowdle?
Who?
Rico Dowdle.
I don't know.
No, I don't believe they replaced him. I don't know what they did draft-wise. But.
I think it's nice to be loyal to a guy who did some good things to you for you, but I think this is misguided thinking by the Cowboys. But then again, I think a lot of the things the Cowboys do are misguided, starting with the fact they hang on to their dumb coach, Mike McCarthy.
Their dumb coach.
Now, the thing that you always get with Mike McCarthy is, well, he won a Super Bowl. Yeah, that doesn't guarantee that you know what you're doing. You know, it's a notch, on your belt.
Things change throughout the years.
For the positive. But I don't know. Did Mike McCarthy's brilliance win the Packers a Super Bowl? Or did Aaron Rodgers' brilliance win them a Super Bowl?
I would say both.
You know,
on that
Don McCaffrey. Do you even know who that is? It's not
is
Ed
it,
McCaffrey's.
Is it long Christian distance. McCaffrey's grandpa?
No, it's not long. But he was the head coach of the first ever Super Bowl winner when the AFC and NFC merged back in Super Bowl V. He took over for Don Shula in Baltimore. Shula went to Miami, and then McCaffrey inherited Shula's powerhouse team and won the Super Bowl. I don't know that Don McCaffrey knew what he was doing. He just stayed out of the way. Mike McCarthy, I mean, he's proven pretty much beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can't coach.
I don't
in the last
see,
7-8 years
I
with
understand
Dallas, hasn't
what
he?
You're saying. I do understand it but He has a winning record every year. It's not that easy to win in the NFL consistently. He might not be able to get over that hump in the playoffs, but he's putting them in the playoffs every year. And there's plenty of coaches that can't get teams to the playoffs.
I think Jerry Jones is putting them in the playoffs every year by spending a ton of money on the talent that they have. I don't think Mike McCarthy's putting them in the playoffs. I will say this. I can be harsh on coaches. My lovely was asking me the other day about...
Your who?
My lovely.
Oh, well...
My lovely Lori.
Okay, I heard something
Somehow
else.
Mike McDaniel came up talking. Is it Mike... Crazy. Is it Mike McDaniel or Mike McDaniels?
It's McDaniel.
McDaniel.
Yes, there's coach no of the S. Dolphins. There's no S.
You know, she and he went to the same high school.
Yes,
not
I
at
know.
The same time, of course, but she likes to take credit for this.
Okay.
And she was like, you know, I bet, you know, you can't wait for another. And I said, you know, he's got to prove something to me about now. You know, as good
third
as.
Third year.
You know, the Miami record is super good against crappy teams. But they don't beat good teams, right? I mean, that's fair.
I guess so.
You don't even have to follow Miami to know that's true. And they fall apart every December.
Do you think he's self-aware enough to know that he needs to fix that?
Yeah, I think he is. Okay. I mean, you can't get anywhere in the NFL. I take that back. You can get to the first round of the playoffs at 9-8 by beating up lousy teams every week. But you can't go any further than that because in the playoffs you play good teams. And Miami's not capable of beating those teams, at least not yet in the Mike McDaniel era.
Cameron has a nice point on X. And if you want to watch the show, you can just on YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan or go to X at 97.3 The Fan SD. I just can't reply to those unless I say it on the air. Cameron says, Chris, they are paying him $2 million. What's the big deal? I agree.
Paying who?
Zeke.
Oh, you think that there's nothing to lose?
I think this is a steal because he could easily command, I don't know, more money than that. But I think this is a steal. He had a pretty decent year last year.
But isn't it a waste of $2 million if the guy rushes for like 90 yards? I mean, you might say
a game? Are they winning?
No, 90 yards.
Like total?
I'm thinking that's about what Zeke will get this year.
I think he was better last year than people expected.
I think it's really clear, and I mean, if you disagree, fine, but I think it's pretty clear that Ezekiel Elliott, the tread is coming off those tires, and that was somewhat on display last year, and I would expect it'll be further on display this year.
Okay, I have to make a correction because anything is up for grabs on this. Zeke was number 4 overall. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, still missed it by one.
Yes, I transposed the 2016 with pick number 4.
Here's my problem with Ezekiel Elliott, and this is just it. Rushing yards per carry since 2018. 4.7, 4.5, 4.2, 4.0, 3.8, 3.5.
Well, he's getting older. That's what older guys do.
Right. So why are we giving him any money to come back and play some more? Silly, I think. Sorry. It's not only $2 million. That's $2 million you could use towards somebody else who is good.
I can't believe I'm defending a Cowboy, but I think this is a good signing for them.
Well, go ahead.
I think this is a good
signing. All right. You'll remind me next year when you draft him in the fourth round of the fantasy draft.
Okay.
You are the champ.
Can we go to break now?
I got to check some traffic first.
Okay.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, coming up on a Big Five, Tony will rejoin the program for that. Heading our way at the bottom of the hour, Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios, Reds and Padres tonight, a 6:30 start, 6:40. Give you an extra 10 minutes to get in to the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Waldron going to be tested by the Swift, Cincinnati Reds, 52 stolen bases already. This is still April. A lot of stolen bases.
That is a lot, yeah.
Reminds me of what the Cardinals did way back in the Whitey Herzog days of the 1980s.
What did they do?
They ran like crazy. I mean, Vince Coleman stole over 100, and Ozzie Smith was like in the 70s, and Willie McGee had maybe 60. I'm just going off the top of my head. But yeah, the Cardinals made a 3 World Series by just running wild on the base pass.
But I remember last year, and this has nothing to do with the Reds, but it kind of maybe ties in. I remember last year when everybody was talking about Ronald Acuna and some of those guys going for the big base stealing marks, and how as the season went along, it was just so much harder to steal bases because you're tired, your legs are, you know, been through a season already. I wonder what happened with the Reds, if they can keep it up.
We'll see. You know, since we're talking about it, I'll look at the 1985 Cardinals, for example. They had Vince Coleman with 110, Willie McGee with 56, Tommy Herr and Ozzie Smith had 31, Andy Van Slyke had 34.
They had it was just a team effort.
They
it
went
wasn't
crazy.
Like two guys.
Well, Vince Coleman
bases.
Won 10.
Yeah, well, there you go. But
yeah.
Still.
They had 314 steals that year. They also got caught 96 times. And that is why, right there, is why the stolen base over the last, you know, 2-3 decades has gone largely away. These teams don't want to give up those 96 outs just to get an extra base. So that's why, I mean, 96 is a lot of guys thrown out.
That is.
Anyway. We were speaking of football a little bit. I saw my boy, my guy, Mel Kiper Jr.
Oh, what did he have to say about the draft?
Well, he had his rankings for the NFL draft, which finished this weekend. And I find it a little arrogant of Mel.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Although not surprising. A little arrogant that Mel Kiper, of the 32 teams in the National Football League, only found 2 of those teams to be up to his standards and deserving of an A for their draft.
Okay, who got the A's?
I mean, that's, yeah, right? You're just a guy who predicts this stuff. You're not the authority, although you think you are. And, I mean, he sits there and goes, well, you know, there's only 2 teams that are good enough to get an A. Come on, Mel.
Who got the A, and then we need to go to break?
Well, one of them's the Cardinals, so that'll tell you a little something about what Mel's
thinking.
Who cares
about the Cardinals?
Well, they got Marvin Harrison Jr., and they also had like 20 draft choices. So, the other one was the Eagles.
Oh.
My friend Myra's Eagles.
Oh.
Myra got mad at me the other day because I gave her husband, Ryan, a shout-out on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers draft, but it didn't mention Myra's Eagles.
Well, because we don't mention the Eagles on this show.
Well, we just can't mention everybody's name every time we mention a favorite team.
Well, I mean,
we can, but
we just don't like the Eagles here.
I don't hate the Eagles. You hate the Eagles. Eagles got high marks because they went cornerback with their first 2 picks, and those were Mel's top 2 cornerbacks in the draft. Mel Kiper giving out only 2 A's out of 32 teams.
Nice, Mel.
Who was lowest on Mel's rating, by the
way? Gotta be the Falcons.
Gotta be the Falcons. Good luck with that, Falcons.
Was it?
Oh, it's the Falcons.
All right.
Oh, yeah. It's the Falcons. You know, it's funny. It was such a bad pick that people are starting to try to make it sound a little better now.
They're trying to dress up a pig?
Yes, it's not working. All right, break time. Big 5 next.
The biggest guests in San Diego sports talk appear on 97.3 The Fan.
Writer, showrunner Brian Koppelman.
Yeah, you guys both are in the business. Spike Lee and you cross paths.
Spike and I coached Little League together.
Get out of
here.
That's amazing.
Sam's my son. Spike's son is Jackson. But Spike comes over and he's like, hey, is Sammy playing Little League? And I said, yes, I'm coaching.
That confirms that I'm right about Ezekiel Elliott since Jim Rome is backing me on that.
Man, Jim Rome went hard
signing.
In the paint.
That's right. If Jim Rome says so, it must be true. Welcome back. 4:36 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, check me some traffic and then hit me with a big 5.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, a Monday, a bad Monday in my book, actually. You guys, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today.
Number five.
And, what?
Yeah, today I woke up and I was just angry from the outset.
And when you fell out of the wrong side of the bed, did you bump into a lot of Padre fans there?
Yes, I have bumped into Padre fans all weekend long. I bumped into Padre fans everywhere. Yeah. Lucky was taking my spot in the bed. I was just really angry this morning when I got out of bed.
All right, well, so, let's see how it affects the Big Five.
Well, it might affect my Twitter account, because one of the first things I saw this morning on social media, and it was friend of the show and friend of you guys, Jenny Kavner, was trending. And so I clicked on it, and it was a picture of a change.org petition to get Jenny removed from her position of A's TV play-by-play. And And there were some calls over the weekend that I think were not the best, but that does not mean she's bad at her job. There are plenty of calls not posted around the world of sports that are actually good calls. But back to the tweet that I saw, and it was actually someone defending Jenny, and it went like this. It's from Aaron Cameron. He said, "Begging you bums to find anything better to do with your time." So he was defending because it's crazy.
Is there a question in our future?
Yeah,
hold on, hold on. Because I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I replied to the tweet with this. And you guys are going to tell me if I was out of line. "Are we sure they aren't just mad because their fragile little male egos were hurt a woman got the job? This is embarrassing for people who are actually A's fans. Give her some time to settle in. I feel for A's fans, but this is not how to handle it." Now, I don't usually like being controversial like this, but I felt I needed to say that. Chris, was I out of line?
Absolutely not. I really? Think for a change, you might have hit one out of the park.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, I would, you know, if I knew how to work the Twitter feed the same way, and knew how to respond to tweets I did not like, you know, I would have liked to have written something very similar. I mean, you know, Jenny's not only a great friend, but she's a trailblazer in the industry. And, you know, I asked you to play the calls for me. And maybe we can play them a little later in the show if we have to. But there's nothing wrong with these calls. They're television calls, and Jenny likes to let the action develop. And I think she's, you know, look, she's doing a fantastic job. And, you know, it's so easy to be critical of broadcasters because you could just sit there on your couch and try to pick apart little things here and there. But I think these A's fans' male egos are getting the best of them.
Yes. Tony, was I out of line with this?
No. You are.
Wow. I
mean,
shocked.
This is, I think Chris said it well. You know, there are some folks that, even if she was like Vince Scully, they would have a problem with it. Like,
yes, they
even
would.
If she was, there's nothing that she can do in some people's eyes to deserve that job. And, you know, that's, unfortunately, it's just what it is. But I haven't heard the calls that are in question, but Chris is very good at these type of things. And so the fact that he's saying there's nothing wrong means I probably won't listen at this point. I just, you know, that's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Jenny's more than deserving. It's not like she just started doing broadcasting. She's been doing it for quite some time. And so, and listen, even as, you know, a colleague of hers, we're all, like, still developing, especially us who are just, you know, kind of getting our feet wet in it a little bit. And so, let her settle in. I have no doubt she's gonna be great.
Yeah, then these guys went and, like, went through all of her Twitter account and brought up all these things that she said about the A's in, like, 2021. It's just like, really? All of this for that?
Whatever was said was probably true.
It was, and she wasn't working for them.
And she wasn't working for the A's at that point, so.
Gosh. All right, well, you guys made me feel better because I was not comfortable driving down here.
I'll tell you one thing. If I had the address of some of these people that are being critical of Jenny Kavner,
should I stop you right here?
I would send you over there to do some physical damage.
Well, send you over.
Send me over. Yes. What am I going to do? Hello, sir. Can you please come outside so we can have some physical?
I'm going to defend Jenny right to the very end,
me
and
too.
I know you would too.
Me too.
All right.
Number four.
The LA Rams could have a small problem developing this offseason, and that's the fact that Matthew Stafford appears to be unhappy with this contract. According to NFL.com, Stafford wants the team to adjust his contract so it includes more guaranteed money over the final 2 years of the deal, and as things currently stand, he's making $31 million in guaranteed money coming this season, but he has nothing assured to him after that. And with the way the contract is set up, the Rams could just easily move on from him following the end of this coming season. And he wants to make sure that they are, you know, he wants some assurances that the team plans to stick with him. Blah. Rams executives and head coach Sean McVay kind of danced around it. They said, we've talked to him. Quote, we'll keep those things in-house, but he's been working with our guys and we'll keep those things in-house. Thanks, Sean McVay. End quote. Tony, should the Rams make Matthew Stafford happy?
No.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, at some point, you know, I shouldn't say no, they shouldn't make him happy, but in terms of should they give him the extension or the more guarantees now, I wouldn't. I mean, at this point, Matthew's been hurt and missed some action. They haven't quite returned to the level of where they had been, which was Super Bowl champs. And it may be time to start looking elsewhere. I don't know that Matthew Stafford is, you know, he's around Clayton Kershaw's age, right? 38, 39?
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there, right, where you start getting old?
He's 36. He'll turn, 36 for this coming season.
So he's still relatively young. Yeah, well, that kind of changes my opinion a little bit. I guess either way, if I was the Rams, I would still want to wait through this year before we started having conversations about more guaranteed. Like, where are you going to get us this year? How far are we going to go? Now, if he has a good year at 36, I can see you extending him another 2 years or something like that. But I still would want to wait and see this year.
Interesting. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, he won them a Super Bowl, so they ought to bend over backwards to make him happy. But that's just not how the NFL works. Sorry, Matthew Stafford. It is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league. And teams that reward people based on past performance tend to become bad very, very quickly in the NFL. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't be loyal in the NFL. If you're loyal to somebody who helped you win previously, you're not going to win now. So the smart money for the Rams right now is to wait and see how Stafford pans out. I would not make a commitment to him at this point. 3 years ago is 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But this is all long since past. And if the Rams want to do the smart thing here, they'll do what's right for the Rams, not what's right for Stafford. Sorry. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's how it works out in football.
They need to figure out a succession plan then quick, because I don't know
that's
that
my,
they really
that's
have
my,
anything.
If he can prove that he's got more tread on the tires, like in a major way, yeah, okay, then I would consider extending him. He's still, you know, he's still an elite quarterback in the NFL. Like, there ain't too many guys you can plug in that, you know, are going to be as good as him, right? If he can prove that he's still got tread, for sure extending. But I wouldn't extend him long. He's still 36.
All right. Well, we'll see where this goes.
I mean, the 49ers aren't going to sign Joe Montana to back up Brock Purdy just because he won, you know, all those Super Bowls.
I think that's a little bit different.
It's a little different, but it's the same idea in the world of the NFL. Matthew Stafford might as well be Joe Montana if he doesn't produce like he did 3 years ago.
Number three.
In a significant shakeup for CBS's NFL Today, Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms, after 22 and 26 years respectively, have announced their departure, with former Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan joining the show alongside James Brown, Nate Burleson, Bill Cowher, and J.J. Watt. Esiason is going to continue his radio simulcast on CBS Sports Network and WFAN, and he also announced an extension with WFAN today. While Simms expressed gratitude for his time at the network and doesn't really seem like he's got anything lined up right now. But this mark changed the end of the era, who've both been with CBS for a very, very long time. Chris, do you think removing Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms while adding Matt Ryan and J.J. Watt is a good move?
I won't know.
I've never watched that show. I don't know how many
years. That's a good point, Chris.
I don't know how many years it's been on, but I have DVR'd right past the NFL.
This is a good point.
Pre-game, yes, halftime, yes, and post-game show for the last, whatever it is, 15 years, and I will probably continue to do so. You know, so it might be time for you know, maybe some new opinions, some new blood, etc. I think Boomer, you know, was very happy to just re-up his radio deal in New York. I saw some criticism of the NFL today for getting rid of Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims, but keeping Bill Cowher, who the critics said is easily the worst part of that show. Wow. But I can't say on my own because I really don't watch that stuff. I wonder how much longer networks, honestly, are going to pay, you know, big money, because I'm sure these guys all make big money. Jimmy Johnson and Terry Bradshaw and all these guys at Fox and the group at CBS. I mean, what's the reason? These shows, there's no, they don't add anything to the broadcasts any longer. At least in my mind. Maybe some people tune in to listen to this stuff, but I don't think that many people do anymore. I think it's time we kind of move on from the pre and post game, you know, panel of 16 guys all trying to give a different opinion.
I mean, yeah, like Terry Bradshaw, I'm sorry, I don't tune in for what Terry Bradshaw has to say anymore.
You know, other than Jimmy Johnson, I think it was last year, I actually caught one halftime segment.
That's when he went off on the Cowboys.
When he went off on the Cowboys,
yeah.
I stopped the DVR to hear his, quote, halftime speech, you know, that he would have given to the Cowboys when they were getting annihilated by the Packers in that playoff game. That was funny. That was entertaining. That was interesting. But overall, those guys just don't add enough for me.
All right, Tony, what do you think about the addition, subtraction, all that?
That is a great, great point. Because I was sitting here racking off, I was like, man, why can't I remember this show? It's because I don't watch it. I don't watch it. I don't watch it. I knew they were on there. I mean, when back before you had all of the other options, right? I mean, NFL Countdown starts at like 7 o'clock, and you don't have to turn from it until like 10. And so you could just stick to that the whole time. And then when the game starts, you go over it, and you forget until halftime that they even had this, or at least I do. Had a pregame show.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, as Chris said, it's probably good to get some new blood in there. I haven't listened enough to know whether, you know, good or isn't it the same one that Tony Gonzalez is on to?
Yeah.
I don't think he's been on there for a while.
Well, there
you go.
Maybe
I haven't
Fox?
Been there.
No, I don't know.
I don't know where Tony
Maybe
Gonzalez
it is Fox.
Is.
Maybe it is Fox.
I have one football analyst who I listen to on Sundays.
Matt Scraby.
From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Every single Sunday. And he is Scott Hansen.
Yes.
I don't need anybody else's input.
It's true. There's no halftime shows in Red Zone.
No, I don't need anybody else's input.
Oh, you guys, I didn't even think about the whole thing about no one watches this show, so who cares?
If you want to tell me they're thinking about replacing Scott Hansen, then we're going to have a problem.
Yeah,
because then so. I'm going to have to, yeah,
big
then I'm
problem.
Gonna have to step up.
Big problem, Tony
big issues.
Says. All right.
Number two.
The Minnesota Vikings made a trade with the New York Jets on Thursday night to acquire the number 10 pick in the NFL draft, which they ended up using to pick Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. Denver Broncos coach Sean Payton said on Friday he was trying to bait them into doing just that. And here's the clip that I found online from the press conference.
I was actively involved in trying to pretend we were moving forward.
That's him creepily,
oh, ha, ha, ha.
Creepily laughing.
That and is pretty
the
creepy.
The clip cut off. It was like
the mad genius is at it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the article I was reading said this sentence. He added a crass smile after the comment. Broncos fans think Peyton is trying to save face after the Broncos couldn't actually get ahead of the Vikings because they wanted J.J. McCarthy. But, Tony, is Sean Payton the villain coach of the NFL right now?
I don't know if he's the villain coach, but I know this next quarterback better ball out.
Bo Nix?
Bo Nix, he better be the answer. Because as much noise as
Peyton?
My man, what's his, yeah, as Peyton has made in these last two years with his own quarterback last year and I think they definitely had to try to save face because they didn't get the guy they wanted. And he's had so much bad publicity over the last 2 years that he didn't want to take them licks again. So, yeah, man. I hope Bo Nix works out for him, though.
You remember what, I just remembered this. Remember when he crushed, who did he crush? Nathaniel Hackett for being bad head coach.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the bad headlines that I was talking about.
Yeah, Chris, is Sean Payton the villain coach right now in the NFL?
I don't think he's anybody's villain coach in the NFL right now because I think every other team in the NFL is happy he's there because they think they can whip his butt every Sunday. You know, Sean Payton to me is a classic example of somebody who is living on something that happened over a decade ago.
Long time ago.
I mean, it was a long time ago that Drew Brees carried the Saints to
2010?
A Super Bowl. It's been over a decade. Sean Payton is still believed by at least the Broncos executives to be one of the real geniuses in the NFL. Proof's in the pudding. I mean, he was pathetic last year. They tried to blame it all on Russell Wilson, so Tony's right. I mean, he's the one, you know, putting that team together. Yeah. I mean, their quarterback situation is a nightmare. I mean, Bo Nix is, you know, you're going to have to pray that he does something because you know you're not going to get anything from Zach Wilson. And that football team's as bad as it gets in the AFC right now.
Bo Nix is like the same age as Penix, isn't he?
I think he's a little older.
He's an oldish quarterback.
I think Bo Nix is as old as Drew Brees. So,
no, he's not. He's not like
quite
45.
That old. Well,
he's not 45 years old. But Bo Nix is 24.
You know, look, these two instances are enough to get me to dislike Sean Payton. And one is the out-of-line comments he had about Nathaniel Hackett. Even though I agreed with him, they were totally out of line for him to say that. And then to go out and coach almost as bad as Nathaniel Hackett did. And I think this little thing here, I think Tony's right. I mean, you know, they probably wanted to try to get J.J. McCarthy, and he's trying to get the smoke off of his back. But I'm not a fan of Sean Payton any longer. And that and you know what? He used to coach at San Diego State, so I used to try to stick up for him for that.
I always forget about that.
Yeah.
Number one.
All right, so Andy Slater, not really sure. I think he's a reporter from Florida, but he tweeted out this for the Florida sports scene tonight. Tonight's ticket prices in South Florida, $57 for the Celtics at the Heat, $52 for the Lightning at the Panthers, and $1 for the Nationals at the Marlins. Chris, which game are you going
to? When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, a Monday, a bad Monday in my book, actually. You guys, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today.
Number five.
And, what?
Yeah, today I woke up and I was just angry from the outset.
And when you fell out of the wrong side of the bed, did you bump into a lot of Padre fans there?
Yes, I have bumped into Padre fans all weekend long. I bumped into Padre fans everywhere. Yeah. Lucky was taking my spot in the bed. I was just really angry this morning when I got out of bed.
All right, well, so, let's see how it affects the Big Five.
Well, it might affect my Twitter account, because one of the first things I saw this morning on social media, it was friend of the show and friend of you guys, Jenny Kavner, was trending. And so I clicked on it, and it was a picture of a change.org petition to get Jenny removed from her position of A's TV play-by-play. And there were some calls over the weekend that I think were not the best, but that does not mean she's bad at her job. There are plenty of calls not posted around the world of sports that are actually good calls. But back to the tweet that I saw, and it was actually someone defending Jenny, and it went like this. It's from Aaron Cameron. He said, "Begging you bums to find anything better to do with your time." So he was defending because it's crazy.
Is there a question in our future?
Yeah, where is the
question? Hold on. Because I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I replied to the tweet with this. And you guys are going to tell me if I was out of line. "Are we sure they aren't just mad because their fragile little male egos were hurt a woman got the job? This is embarrassing for people who are actually A's fans. Give her some time to settle in. I feel for A's fans, but this is not how to handle it." Now, I don't usually like being controversial like this, but I felt I needed to say that. Chris, was I out of line?
Absolutely not. I really? Think for a change, you might have hit one out of the park.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, I would, you know, if I knew how to work the Twitter feed the same way and knew how to respond to tweets I did not like, you know, I would have liked to have written something very similar. I mean, you know, Jenny's not only a great friend, but she's a trailblazer in the industry. And, you know, I asked you to play the calls for me. And maybe we can play them a little later in the show if we have to. But there's nothing wrong with these calls. They're television calls, and Jenny likes to let the action develop. And I think she's, you know, look, she's doing a fantastic job. And, you know, it's so easy to be critical of broadcasters because you could just sit there on your couch and try to pick apart little things here and there. But I think these A's fans' male egos are getting the best of them.
Yes. Tony, was I out of line with this?
No, you are.
Wow, I am shocked.
This is, I think Chris said it well. You know, there are some folks that, even if she was like Vince Scully, they would have a problem with it. Like,
yes, they
even
would.
If she was, there's nothing that she can do in some people's eyes to deserve that job. And, you know, that's, unfortunately, just what it is. But I haven't heard the calls that are in question, but Chris is very good at these type of things. And so the fact that he's saying there's nothing wrong means I probably won't listen at this point. I just, you know, that's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Jenny's more than deserving. It's not like she just started doing broadcasting. She's been doing it for quite some time. And so, and listen, even as a colleague of hers, we're all like still developing, especially us who are just, you know, kind of getting our feet wet in it a little bit. And so, let her settle in. I have no doubt she's gonna be great.
Yeah, then these guys went through all of her Twitter account and brought up all these things that she said about the A's in like 2021. It's just like, really? All of this for that?
Whatever was said was probably true.
It was, and she wasn't working for them.
And she wasn't working for the A's at that point. So,
alright, well, you guys made me feel better because I was not comfortable driving down here.
I'll tell you one thing. If I had the address of some of these people that are being critical of Jenny Kavner,
should I stop you right here?
I would send you over there to do some physical damage.
Well, send you over.
Send me over.
Yes.
What am I going to do? Hello, sir. Can you please come outside so we can have some physicals?
I'm going to defend Jenny right to the very end, and I know you would too.
Me too.
All right.
Number four.
The L.A. Rams could have a small problem developing this offseason, and that's the fact that Matthew Stafford appears to be unhappy with this contract. According to NFL.com, Stafford wants the team to adjust his contract so it includes more guaranteed money over the final 2 years of the deal, and as things currently stand, he's making $31 million in guaranteed money coming this season, but he has nothing assured to him after that. And with the way the contract is set up, the Rams could just easily move on from him following the end of this coming season. And he wants to make sure that they are, you know, he wants some assurances that the plan's team plans to stick with him. Blah. Rams executives and head coach Sean McVay kind of danced around it. They said, we've talked to him. Quote, we'll keep those things in-house, but he's been working with our guys, and we'll keep those things in-house. Thanks, Sean McVay, end quote. Tony, should the Rams make Matthew Stafford happy?
No.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, at some point, you know, I shouldn't say no, they shouldn't make him happy, but in terms of should they give him the extension or the more guarantees now, I wouldn't. I mean, at this point, Matthew's been hurt and missed some action. They haven't quite returned to the level of where they had been, which was Super Bowl champs. And it may be time to start looking elsewhere. I don't know that Matthew Stafford is, you know, he's about Clayton Kershaw's age, right? 38, 39?
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there, right, where you start getting old.
He's 36. He'll turn 36 for this coming season.
So he's still relatively young. Yeah, well, that kind of changes my opinion a little bit. I guess either way, if I was the Rams, I would still want to wait through this year before we started having conversations about more guaranteed. Like, where are you going to get us this year? How far are we going to go? Now, if he has a good year at 36, I can see you extending him another 2 years or something like that. But I still would want to wait and see this year.
Interesting. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, he won them a Super Bowl, so they ought to bend over backwards to make him happy. But that's just not how the NFL works. Sorry, Matthew Stafford. It is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league. And teams that reward people based on past performance tend to become bad very, very quickly in the NFL. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't be loyal in the NFL. If you're loyal to somebody who helped you win previously, you're not going to win now. So the smart money for the Rams right now is to wait and see how Stafford pans out. I would not make a commitment to him at this point. 3 years ago is 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But this is all long since past. And if the Rams want to do the smart thing here, they'll do what's right for the Rams, not what's right for Stafford. Sorry. I mean, it's unfortunate,
that,
but that's how it works out in football.
They need to figure out a succession plan then quick, because I don't know
if he can prove that he's got more tread on the tires, like in a major way, yeah, okay, then I would consider extending him. He's still an elite quarterback in the NFL. Like, there ain't too many guys you can plug in that, you know, are going to be as good as him, right? If he can prove that he's still got tread, for sure, extend him. But I wouldn't extend him long. He's still 36.
All right. Well, we'll see where this goes.
I mean, the 49ers aren't going to sign Joe Montana to back up Brock Purdy just because he won, you know, all those Super Bowls.
I think that's a little bit different.
It's a little different, but it's the same idea in the world of the NFL. Matthew Stafford might as well be Joe Montana if he doesn't produce like he did 3 years ago.
Number three.
In a significant shakeup for CBS's NFL Today, Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms, after 22 and 26 years respectively, have announced their departure, with former Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan joining the show alongside James Brown, Nate Burleson, Bill Cowher, and J.J. Watt. Esiason is going to continue his radio simulcast on CBS Sports Network and WFAN, and he also announced an extension with WFAN today. While Simms expressed gratitude for his time at the network and doesn't really seem like he's got anything lined up right now. But this mark changes the end of the era, who've both been with CBS for a very, very long time. Chris, do you think removing Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms while adding Matt Ryan and J.J. Watt is a good move?
I won't know. I've never watched that show. I don't know how many years.
That's a good point, Chris.
I don't know how many years it's been on, but I have DVR'd right past the NFL.
This is a good point.
Pre-game,
yes,
halftime, and post-game show for the last, whatever it is, 15 years, and I will probably continue to do so. So it might be time for maybe some new opinions, some new blood, etc. I think Boomer, you know, was very happy to just re-up his radio deal in New York. I saw some criticism of the NFL Today for getting rid of Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims, but keeping Bill Cowher, who the critics said is easily the worst part of that show. Wow. But I can't say on my own, because I really don't watch that stuff. I wonder how much longer networks, honestly, are going to pay, you know, big money. Because I'm sure these guys all make big money. Jimmy Johnson and Terry Bradshaw and all these guys at Fox and the group at CBS. I mean, what's the reason? These shows, they don't add anything to the broadcast any longer. At least in my mind. Maybe some people tune in to listen to this stuff, but I don't think that many people do anymore. I think it's time we kind of move on from the pre and post game, you know, panel of 16 guys all trying to give a different opinion. Guys.
I mean, yeah, like Terry Bradshaw, I'm sorry. I don't tune in for what Terry Bradshaw has to say anymore.
You know, other than Jimmy Johnson, I think it was last year, I actually caught one halftime segment.
That's when he went off on the Cowboys.
When he went off on the Cowboys,
yeah.
I stopped the DVR to hear his, quote, halftime speech. You know, that he would have given to the Cowboys when they were getting annihilated by the Packers in that playoff game. That was funny. That was entertaining. That was interesting. But overall, those guys just don't add enough for me.
All right, Tony, what do you think about the addition, subtraction, all that?
That is a great, great point. Because I was sitting here racking on, I was like, man, why can't I remember this show? It's because I don't watch it. I don't watch it. I knew they were on there. I mean, back before you had all of the other options, right? I mean, NFL Countdown starts at like 7 o'clock, and you don't have to turn from it until like 10. And so you could just stick to that the whole time. And then when the game starts, you go over it, and you forget until halftime that they even had this, or at least I do, had a pregame show.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, as Chris said, it's probably good to get some new blood in there. I haven't listened enough to know whether, good or isn't it the same one that Tony Gonzalez is on to?
Yeah,
I don't think he's been on there for a while. Now.
There
you go.
Maybe
I haven't
Fox?
Been there.
No, I don't know.
I don't know where Tony.
Maybe
Gonzalez
it is Fox.
Is.
Maybe it is Fox.
I have one football analyst who I listen to on Sundays.
Matt Scraby
from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Every single Sunday, and he is Scott Hansen.
Yes.
I don't need anybody else's input.
It's true. There's no halftime shows in Red Zone.
No, I don't need anybody else's input.
Oh, you guys, I didn't even think about the whole thing about no one watches this show, so who cares?
Now, if you want to tell me they're thinking about replacing Scott Hansen, then we're going to have a problem.
Yeah,
because then I'm going to have to step up.
Big problem,
big
Tony
issues.
Says. All right.
Number two.
The Minnesota Vikings made a trade with the New York Jets on Thursday night to acquire the number 10 pick in the NFL draft, which they ended up using to pick Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. Denver Broncos coach Sean Payton said on Friday he was trying to bait them into doing just that. And here's the clip that I found online from the press conference.
I was actively involved in trying to pretend we were moving forward.
That's him creepily, creepily laughing.
That
and
is
the,
pretty
the
creepy.
The clip cut off. It was like
the mad genius is at it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the article I was reading said this sentence. He added a crass smile after the comment. Broncos fans think Peyton is trying to save face after the Broncos couldn't actually get ahead of the Vikings because they wanted J.J. McCarthy. But, Tony, is Sean Payton the villain coach of the NFL right now?
I don't know if he's the villain coach, but I know this next quarterback better ball out.
Bo Nix?
Bo Nix, he better be the answer. Because as much noise as
Peyton.
As Peyton has made in these last two years with his own quarterback last year. And I think they definitely had to try to save face because they didn't get the guy they wanted. And he's had so much bad publicity over the last 2 years that he didn't want to take them licks again. So, yeah, man. I hope Bo Nix works out for him, though.
I just remembered this. Remember when he crushed, who did he crush? Nathaniel Hackett for being bad head coach.
Mm-hmm. Chris, that's part of the bad headlines that I was talking about.
Yeah, Chris, is Sean Payton the villain coach right now in the NFL?
I don't think he's anybody's villain coach in the NFL right now, because I think every other team in the NFL is happy he's there because they think they can whip his butt every Sunday. You know, Sean Payton to me is a classic example of somebody who is living on something that happened over a decade ago.
Long time ago.
I mean, it was a long time ago that Drew Brees carried the Saints to
2010?
A Super Bowl. It's been over a decade. Sean Payton is still believed by at least the Broncos executives to be one of the real geniuses in the NFL. Proof's in the pudding. I mean, he was pathetic last year. They tried to blame it all on Russell Wilson, so Tony's right. I mean, he's the one, you know, putting that team together. Yeah. I mean, their quarterback situation is a nightmare. I mean, Bo Nix is, you know, you're going to have to pray that he does something, because you know you're not going to get anything from Zach Wilson. I mean, that football team's as bad as it gets in the AFC right now.
Bo Nix is like the same age as Pinnix, isn't he?
I think he's a little older.
He's an oldish quarterback.
I think Bo Nix is as old as Drew Brees. So,
no, he's not. He's not like quite 45. That old.
Well,
he's not 45 years old. But Bo Nix is 24.
You know, look, these two instances are enough to get me to dislike Sean Payton. And one is the out-of-line comments he had about Nathaniel Hackett. Even though I agreed with him, they were totally out of line for him to say that. And then to go out and coach almost as bad as Nathaniel Hackett did. And I think this little thing here, I think Tony's right. I mean, you know, they probably wanted to try to get J.J. McCarthy, and he's trying to get the smoke off of his back. But I'm not a fan of Sean Payton any longer. And that and you know what? He used to coach at San Diego State, so I used to try to stick up for him for that.
I always forget about that.
Yeah.
Number one.
All right, so Andy Slater, not really sure. I think he's a reporter from Florida, but he tweeted out this for the Florida sports scene tonight. Tonight's ticket prices in South Florida, $57 for the Celtics at the Heat, $52 for the Lightning at the Panthers, and $1 for the Nationals at the Marlins. Chris, which game are you going to for those prices?
For those prices?
Yep.
$57. I can afford that.
It's a playoff game.
I can't believe that you can get an NBA playoff ticket for $57.
That's crazy in South Beach.
That sounds absurd to me.
It does, right?
So that must be like the one I'm going to. I mean, even if it is the worst ticket in the building, that's still...
That's pretty affordable.
Although someone did tweet out that they bought a unobstructed view ticket, and their unobstructed view came with a pole that obstructed 50%
in
of
the Miami Arena.
No. I'm just saying around. So it could be something like that, where it's like an obstructed view ticket.
I've never heard of an obstructed view ticket the 1940s at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. Okay. They don't build arenas that way.
No, I know. But here's when
what
I
are
went,
you talking about
in August. I'm going to Chicago area, and so I bought tickets for Wrigley. And when I was going through Wrigley, there are
yes, Wrigley
views.
Field was built in 1912. The Miami Arena where the Heat play is a little more of a modern facility.
I mean, they still need support beams.
Not inside the building, they don't.
I'm going to find this tweet of this obstructed view.
I've never heard of anything like that.
Has worn back in time to go watch all of his sporting events.
You're crazy, Scraby.
You guys are crazy.
No, we're not crazy.
Here it is.
They don't have obstructed views.
Here it
in,
is. Okay, it's actually not a pole. It's like a cement. I'm showing Chris the picture right now. I will retweet this at Matt Scraby. But that is an obstructed view, Chris. Please tell everyone that it's an obstructed view. He's
trying to... Is that the Miami Arena?
No, I'm not saying it's the Miami Arena.
Where is that?
Is it even a modern pitcher?
Oh, it's a Pacer. It's the Pacers. Yes, it was tweeted yesterday.
Another old building, by the way.
Well,
okay.
So now
this is my fault because I don't know my architecture dates.
I think what you're after here is, will I spend the dollar for the Nationals Marlins ticket? And the bottom line is no. I will put my dollar toward the 57 I spend for the Heat and the Celtics.
All right, Tony. Do I even dare ask?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think I'm taking the 57, too.
The 57?
The $57. I mean, you said it was a hockey game and a playoff? Both playoff games, right?
Yeah, the hockey's 52. Yeah,
I'll do either one of those top two. For $57 or $52 to see a playoff game? Yeah. for sure.
I might go to the hockey game just because I've never really been to a playoff hockey
game.
And
they don't have obstructed views, apparently, in that arena.
I can tell you this. The dollar that you would spend to go watch the Marlins Nationals, there's going to be nobody there. So it's likely you can get an even better seat just by walking on down.
I've been to that stadium, and it is empty.
It's eerie.
It is.
It is eerie.
That's how I know the Rockies are going bad, because that's the first time I've ever seen those first two games. It felt like there was less people.
Oh, when you were in Denver?
In Miami, yeah.
Yeah, they're finally starting to catch on there in Denver. Took them a while.
All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we're going to get you set for the Reds and the Padres tonight on 97.3 The Fan.